So we're into our second in a series of April, looking at the importance of gratitude and what does grateful living look like, and what is it, how does it connect and tie to our faith and how we live in relationship to each other. I also am mindful today that the issue of gratefulness is a challenge, especially when things around us aren't happening that we're grateful for, and there's a difference, right? I'm mindful, of course, of just all the tension now in the Middle East, the challenges we face, heaped in histories of nations and peoples who have been abused or hurt and angered and retaliation, and an eye for an eye until we're all blind. So I just want to start today by just thanking the importance of how even gratitude places into this for a Savior who calls us, Jesus calling us to live with gratefulness even in the midst of trial and difficulty and war. Jesus is the one, some reason, and this is one of the areas Jesus messes me up, is that he says I have to love my enemies. I'm really not into that. And it's transformational to start to act that way. How do I see other people? Do I understand that we are all children of God, sacred worth and important? And when times like this happen, it's a challenge. And so we call upon that presence because we pray that those who are persecuted or hurt, that we might somehow find our ways to overcome the challenge, breaking the cycle of retaliation and violence, that we can be people of grace and peace. Jesus preached a sermon. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God. So Jesus demonstrated us how we move forward in life and acts of reconciliation, peace, suggesting that peaceful resolution of conflict is aligned with God's will and intent. When we pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, we're asking for peace. Jesus, the time of his arrest, told the disciple to put away your sword. If any time, that was a good time for a sword. But he took the way of the cross. That's the Jesus we follow. But the beauty behind that is knowing that the cross did not have the last word, that the tomb was finally empty, that hatred never gets the last word. War, hatred, and all the things that separate us from each other is followed by the promise that there will be a time when all of the resurrected hope of Christ can be realized. And like any prophecy, the call for peace doesn't mean it happens in the moment. It calls us to a life that leads to it. The power of following this Christ who calls for a kingdom marked by our ability to embody values of reconciliation and love and forgiveness. May we be reminded that we are working towards what Jesus promises us, a sense of beloved community where we're all accepted, that we move beyond. I don't know why we can't remember what we learned in kindergarten. Why can't we share our toys? Why can't we see the people in need around us? May God guide us to be people marked by peace and reconciliation and forgiveness, seeking out to help those in need, providing just where people are being marginalized and hated. Well, that wasn't my intent to start today, but I feel it's so important as we face the challenges we are. I look at my grandchildren and I ask, what world am I giving you? And I want to be a mark on my walk, on my watch. I want to be a pastor that's encouraging the membership in the church to be agents of love and reconciliation and peace, not just for ourselves, but for the world. Because it comes from a sense of thankfulness that God has provided for us a life that is marked by his grace and love. When I was thinking about the whole grateful living and choosing to be thankfulness, it is a choice. I wanted to see how thankfulness is related to customer service. Bear with me just for a moment. I went to a restaurant, and I don't get any kickback from them, but I went to the Bay and got some food, and this waitress was amazing. She was able to look at me and the person I was with, and she's gracious about what was going on, asked us, provided information, her kindness. You could just tell she enjoyed what she's doing. It just lifted my spirit. What a blessing it is when customer service has that sense of compassion and support. Just this last week, I went to a place a couple blocks down, no names, and I walked up to the counter, and the person that was working the counter was not facing me, but was leaning against it, playing solitaire. And I stood there, and I wondered, well, what are my options now? And finally, somebody from the kitchen said, got a customer. And so the individual turns, doesn't even look at me, and says, yeah. And I just was marking the difference between that. And you know what I think what's at the heart of it? Thankfulness. And I was just doing some reading, the distinction how thankfulness and gratitude impacts how an employee works in connecting with the customer. So here's a little business thoughtfulness here. Gratitude enhances service attitude. Thankful spirits cultivate this positiveness that really reaches the person that they're caring for, the customer. They're more inclined to treat customers with kindness and patience and respect. The power of coming in to your work with a sense of gratitude. It fosters empathy. It has the ability to see and to care and to respond to the customer. What a beautiful thing that was, and that's what I experienced with the first. It builds the relationship. It fosters, drives excellence. I want to do things well. I'm thankful, and I just hope that this experience with this person is positive. And gratitude fosters a culture of appreciation. And finally, gratitude builds customer loyalty. I want to go back, and I will. But then I was thinking, when God calls us to that sense of a thankful spirit in the life of the church, how is that experienced by others? Now, let's be clear on something. You're not the customer in this. In fact, if we had a display as you're leaving the sanctuary, it would say, entering the mission field. You are the service people of the kingdom of God. You're called to be living gratitude, and that leads us to our text today and how important it is to find ourselves with a disposition of thankfulness. First, from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in every situation because this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Sometimes we get hung up in every situation giving thanks, but I get hung up on rejoicing always and praying continually. That's hard enough. And I guess sometimes we get caught up in the idea that that means that we have to be verbalizing a prayer. We might be at work doing a PowerPoint presentation, and in the back of our minds, we're doing the Lord's Prayer. I don't think that was it. I think it's a disposition, a way of living. It's almost like celebrating and worshiping God through that context. Our other text comes from Philippians, and Paul has a beloved connection with the church at Philippi. And his letter that's written from circumstances of being in prison, he writes this beautiful letter of joy and celebration. He says, don't be anxious about anything. Rather, bring up all of your requests to God in your prayers and petitions, along with giving thanks. Then, the peace of God that exceeds all understanding will keep your hearts and minds safe in Christ Jesus. May God bless the reading, hearing, and understanding of this scripture. So I think of the Thessalonian text. It's calling about this rejoice always and prayer continue. And in a spontaneous moment in the first service, which didn't go left unmarked, I thought, well, let's sing Rejoice in the Lord Always. And so I think the choir worked on this. Neil just doesn't let anything go. So anyway, let's try sing this song. I'm going to choose a key unless I'm given one. Can I just, or David, I'm giving you. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again I say rejoice. That seems high. Did I take the wrong key? Rejoice in the Lord always. Again I say rejoice.
Rejoice in the Lord always. Again I say rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice. Again I say rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice. Again I say rejoice.
Now let's try it in a round. We got the choir. We'll make it, right? So I'm going to start with this side. I'm going to work with you. And then have you already divided up what you're going to do? Or do I have the choir? Will follow me. Okay, so let's start with this group, and then this group over here, and the choir is going to be somewhere in between. So we're going to start and see if we can do the round. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice. Again, I say rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice. Again, I say rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice. Again, I say rejoice. I just love how that song reminds us. And my mom's here today. You might have taught me that song, Mom, when I was in Sunday school, most likely, right? What a beautiful song. And somehow even singing lifts our spirits. But rejoicing always runs at a deeper sense than just a shallow understanding dependent on the circumstances of life. Because as we're dealing with the Middle East and Ukraine, and you can just fill in the blank, loss of loved ones this week, all of these things don't call for us to celebrate those things. They call us at the bedrock of life, at the very foundation of our being. There's a sense of celebration of God's grace will win. Love wins. Grace will guide us. Healing will come. And wars will cease. And it impacts how we care for those around us in the moment. It's easy to get lost in the frustration, the chaos, the challenges that we face in life. But somehow we have the opportunity. And may God be at work in us that we can celebrate. I can't help but channel my inner Mr. Rogers. When we face trauma or hurt or pain, what did he always say? Look for the people who are doing good. Look for the helpers. And what a beautiful thing that is in moments like this. Look for the helpers. See the possibilities. May we honor God in the way we live into this life. Philippians tells us not to be anxious, but rather bring up your requests, connecting with the reality that thankful spirits have this connection profoundly with prayer. Our willingness to open to see. Thankfulness is intertwined with prayer. And it helps us and becomes a remedy for our anxiety. Because the shift goes from worries and trouble into the hope of faithfulness and opportunity. I mean, Paul's writing to a community to whom he has become so attached. His affection for them is overflowing in this letter of hope. Rejoice. Don't be anxious is a tough call. And for some of us, this is a chronic challenge for our lives. And I pray for grace upon grace for you. There's no easy or simple answer. We have excessive worry, we're fatigued, we're irritable, we struggle with sleeplessness, and all of these things are physical headaches and muscle. I mean, the reality of anxiety is a challenge. But I pray for grace upon grace for you, that you'll find the support and the therapy and any of the medications, whatever it is that helps you connect. But don't miss the possibility that spirituality can play a significant role for you and for all of us. Help us overcome the times we feel so isolated or emotionally, physically drained. But the text tells us that there's an opportunity for God's grace to be at work in us. Because at the foundation of life has a center of worship and celebration and thankfulness. And it drives us not away from the ills, but right into its face with the opportunity of reconciliation and healing and hope. What are the holy discontents you face? What are the challenges that frustrate you? I pray you don't feel isolated or alone. I pray you feel the comfort and support that you can be who you are, that we can make a difference. I came across an exercise I just want to share with you that helps us when we face challenging times. And I like how it deals with the senses. The first thing is five things that you see. the sky, the sun, the small plant or flower. It makes me think of last week, DeWitt Jones challenging us to have a lens of celebration, the photographer from National Geographic. See it. Pause. It can help. Four things that you can physically feel: the leaf, the ground, the soccer ball, a friend's hand. Three things you can hear: the birds chirping, the laughter of children. Two things you can smell: fresh cut grass. It's coming, sorry gang. Get the mowers out. Coffee. How about something you can taste? A mint. Delicious food. It helps us shift our focus from the surroundings into the moment and be present and help us maybe ease some of the anxiety. But these are gifts from God at the very center of our celebration of life. But thankfulness is not merely a passive attitude. It really is an active practice in the life of our faith. As we cultivate a habit of thankfulness, we become more attuned to God's presence and celebrating the blessings around us and seeing the good. And our perspective even can shift from focusing on what we are lacking, but on the abundance of God's grace and mercy surrounding us to give us the possibilities of transformative ministry and grace into a world so desperately in need. And gratitude is that key. One pastor said, gratitude is the ability to experience life as a gift. Maybe most of us have been at that point when life got so hard we didn't see the gift. But may it renew in us today the opportunity, the possibilities, that we rejoice not because we're Pollyanna, go lucky, but we have this foundation that love wins. It's the promise of our faith. And in it, it transforms us, and our sense of caring for each other is enhanced, and we can see the world begin to change. The choice to be thankful is a powerful spiritual discipline, and I pray we might be renewed in that. Hearts overflowing with gratitude. Can we be the church that is seen by those in the community that we are thankful, that we care? And over and above customer service, we have a profound sense to want to befriend those who are around us, to care for each other. May we be the church marked by our commitment to care for each other, whether we'll even like Republicans, we'll even like Democrats, we'll even like those on the right or on the left, those who, wherever they might be in their life, they're welcome here because God's grace is at work. In this beloved community, Martin Luther King worked so hard to get our nation to focus in on, is a mark of Christian faith, of acceptance, a huge tent. We can be in disagreement and still be in unity and a love that is acceptance. Still all working for justice and for a world where peace can abide. Let us pray. God of grace and mercy, may we reflect upon your presence today in a way that finds our bedrock of thankfulness that motivates and guides us. Forgive us when we get caught up on our anxiety or our hatred, and then we act in ways that dishonor you and distract from the potential of beloved community. Help our nation, help our leaders in this time where we are finding so much anxiety around the world and mistrust and leading into war. Give them wisdom to act in ways that bring resolution of peace. May that be true for all of our leaders everywhere. We pray this in the name of the Christ that would not be overcome by the grave. Amen. So the blessings and opportunity that we have as a church to make a difference, it's really a blessing to have Susie and Tom Webster share with us. And many of you know they are longstanding members, and I'm grateful for their witness.
Good morning. I'm Susie Webster, and Tom and I have been members of this church for 38 years. Like Peggy and Bill, who spoke last week, we raised our two children in this church family, including their baptisms, confirmations, and one of their weddings. This year's stewardship campaign theme is gratitude for the faith community we have here at UMC-WFB. As I contemplated what to share, I decided to use the letters and the word gratitude to share what the church has given us over the years. G, generosity. The members of the church have always been generous to each other and the world beyond. We were the benefactors of this generosity when our house flooded and two basement walls collapsed in our first year of membership. Kind individuals who didn't know us at all, or we didn't know them, generously gave money and items to help us through this very stressful event. R, relationships. We have so many wonderful friendships that we have developed and nurtured over the years. These real friends have been there supporting us in bad times and celebrating us with us in the good times with their prayers and presence. A, action. Faith in action. We as members of this church are the hands and feet of Christ as we live out our faith in missions. We have so many opportunities in our church, in our community, in our world. In our church, we have helped with children and programming, been camp counselors, sung and played in choirs, worked in the kitchen, volunteered in the office, served on committees. In our community, we have worked in meal programs, sold pumpkins, and helped with spring and fall cleanup of the elderly. In our world, we have packed for Feed My Starving Children, gone on Appalachian Service Project mission trips, and financially supported church group mission trips to Central America. T, Trinity. In my mind, this church's Trinity is worship, prayer, and music. Worship is meaningful and thought-provoking. Our members' prayer life is phenomenal. When prayers are requested, I know they are taken from this place and raised to our Lord by many individuals. Our praying community has gotten us through a lot. And our music program has always been one of the most uplifting parts in my church life. From our choir director's explanation and interpretation of the words we sing, to the sounds of the organ, soloists, instrumentalists, bells, and choirs, to the congregation joined in song, music fills my heart with hope and joy. I, intergenerational. Ours is a church with multi-generational interactions. Some of our fondest times when our children were young were participating in musicals and Journey to Bethlehem as a family, with members ranging in age from 2 to their 70s. The bonds formed between us and between Mike and Christy and the senior members of the church were life-changing and heartwarming. So special were these relationships that when our dear friend Bob Nye passed away while Christy was living in Texas, she desperately wanted to come home to celebrate his life. T, transformative. Our participation in the life of the church has transformed our lives in many ways. We have been cared for and cared for others. We have served and given to others, all of which have brought us great joy. We have studied and learned God's teachings. We give thanks daily for the blessings God has given to us and share those blessings with others. I believe we have become better people, transformed, living as God intended to us to. You, understanding. Understanding of God's word. We have gleaned a better understanding of God's word as we have heard meaningful sermons and studied the Bible in various classes over the years. Listening to and discussing God's word always brings